we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. We want to thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. And I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God. Come to you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, at this same time. And we are thankful that you tuned in. We want to invite you to come out to our services tomorrow, or not tomorrow, Sunday. Tomorrow we have our men's breakfast, our Irons men's breakfast at 8 a.m. And any guys that are out there listening, you're invited to that as well. Be in our fellowship hall, in case you're wondering. We have two buildings. We have our sanctuary. We have our fellowship hall. And so if you see a parking lot with basketball goals in it, at the corner of Tangerine and Parnell and Grove, right in between Parnell and Grove, that's the closest place to park. We're going to have a great breakfast. It's a week earlier this month than what we normally have it because of the Duke Matlock Mornings Matter workshop, personal growth workshop that we're going to be having on August the 27th. So if you haven't, what is that? If you haven't RSVP'd to that yet, if you haven't called in and let us know that you're coming, please do so. We're going to have some food there. We just want to make sure that we have enough. And free lunch, free breakfast, and then a free growth workshop. You can't beat it. It is the best deal in town. I want to ask you to do something. Would you help me make this the worst-kept secret in Brevard County? Not only RSVP for yourself, invite a friend. They don't have to be a listener to the broadcast. They don't have to start attending Merritt Assembly of God. This is our gift to the community. And so if you know someone that could be a benefit to, let them know and have them call 454-4263 to RSVP. You can also RSVP on Facebook at our page on Facebook. You could also send us an email. You could also at merrittassembly@hotmail.com, or you could mail us at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida 32953. All of that information will be at the end of the program and in the closing announcements as well. We would like to invite you, if you don't have a church home, to come and be with us on Sunday, August the 20th, as our youth and children's pastors have returned back from Guatemala, and we will be back up to full speed. We got some exciting things coming in the month of September, and I can't wait to share those with you. So today we're going to finish up Isaiah chapter 30. We're going to touch on a couple of things in Isaiah chapter 31 as well, because they tie in together. And so remember, as we've been talking about Isaiah chapter 30, we have been talking about how bleak the future for society was, that it was like a high wall with a bulge in it that comes breaking down, and so I don't know if you saw the headline a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, about the skyscraper in, I believe it was San Francisco, filled with high-value condos and things like that. And it is doing a Leaning Tower of Pisa-type thing where it is sinking into the ground faster than the engineers thought that it would, drastically faster, and it is tilting to the northwest. And all of those people that had the millions of dollars invested in those properties inside that building are now looking at it and saying, you know, I'm not so sure that this was a stable investment. And, if our society is like that, there's only one way down, and that's down. And so we don't want that to happen. And so the solution was, in chapter 30, was to wait upon God and to allow him to bring about the blessings that a covenant relationship with him brings. We concluded on yesterday's broadcast I'm talking about. In that day, the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. And so God wants to bring healing to his people. So let's begin reading in verse number 27. We're only going to read down through verse number 31, not going to read through the entire chapter. It says, "Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger, and his burden is heavy, and his lips are full of indignation, and his tongue like a devouring fire. His breath is like an overflowing stream which reaches up to the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of futility. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. You shall have a song as in the night when a holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with a flute to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard and show the descent of his arm when the indignation of his anger and the flame of a devouring fire with scattering tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down as he strikes with the rod, and in every place where the staff of punishment praises, which the Lord lays on him." So we're going to stop the reading there. That was first part of verse number 32. And so what we see here in this passage is that when God brings healing to his people, when that covenant is walked in the way that it was supposed to be walked in, God says, "My people are under attack, and I'm coming to the rescue." That's what Isaiah chapter 30 concludes with, is God is coming to the rescue. And he's not being apathetic about it. He's not being complacent about it. He's not taking his own sweet time. When you and I get our act with him the way that it's supposed to be, God acts swiftly. God acts decisively. It talks about here that he comes from a fire burning with his anger. His lips are full of indignation. That means that when you are under attack as God's covenant people, if I can put it to you this way, that upsets God. It ticks him off. He doesn't like it. You see, you and I, we don't have to avenge ourselves when we are walking in covenant with God, because God will take care of that for us. He said, "This belongs to me. I will repay." And so I want to encourage you, you and I, we don't have to walk around. I want to encourage you to do this. Don't be praying for your enemies' destruction, those people who might be lashing out at you and being hostile to you. Pray for their conversion, not for their destruction, because God doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. I have no problems telling you on this program about the real life struggles that I've come through in order to be able to proclaim these things to you with integrity. I mean, I truly believe them. And that was, I had preached a message one time. This was not at Merit Assembly of God. I'd preached a message and a person came up was not the easiest person for me to get along with. Let's put it that way. We saw things differently. I will say that. And this person came up after the service and they said, "That was a great message." And the Holy Spirit just rose up inside of me probably the most intense encounter that I've had with the spirit of discernment that's talked about in the scriptures. And because there was nothing that came out of this man's mouth that indicated that he wasn't being sincere, but the Spirit of God said, "Don't believe him. He's lying to you. He doesn't think that at all." And sure enough, that was right. And when that arose, there were some now remember, there's been a compliment given, but the Spirit of God said, you know, that's not really what that person meant, and it was actually not what he meant at all. And all of a sudden, I began to deal with some very intense emotions, where I got to the place where I didn't care what happened to him eternally. And God dealt with me in a most serious manner. Now, mind you, I've just preached my heart out. I've just preached the word of God that God had laid upon my heart. It was a message I didn't even want to preach. It wasn't directed at anybody. It was just the message God laid upon my heart, and God moved in a powerful way. And now all of a sudden I'm having to deal with these intense emotions of not caring what happened to a person for all of eternity. And God broke my heart and said, that's not the way that I feel about the situation. And I want you to repent, and I want you to forgive that person, and I want you to pray for them that they would be able to respond the way that I wanted them to respond tonight. So I want you to know God is able to deal with things. You don't have to walk around in unforgiveness. In fact, the Bible says that bitterness will disqualify you from ministry. It will exclude you from ministry. It will exclude you from all of the benefits and will send you on a destination that you don't want to go on. Don't cling to bitterness. So God is on the way. It says, when we know that he is on the way, he said, you shall have a song as in the night when a holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with a flute to come to the mountain of the Lord. And so God transforms his people as he comes to engage the enemy. He transforms the people into a praise and worship service, into a season of rejoicing, of celebration, of jubilance. And so I encourage you to worship the Lord with great intensity. Worship him as if the enemy has already been defeated. When you have a prayer request, make sure you conclude that prayer time with a time of praise, saying, God, I know that the words of my lips have just now reached the throne room of heaven, but you knew what they were going to say before those words ever got there. And Lord, I'm just going to thank you because I know that you've heard me, that I have what I've asked because I've asked it in the will of God, and I'm not asking amiss. And God, I just want to thank you that you are going to bring the victory in this situation. So here's what it says. The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard. The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard. When we come home, and my daughter has this dog, very, very, very active dog, but when the dog hears the sound, I was in the house one day, and my daughter was half a block down the road. All of a sudden, the reason that I know this is because I heard her pull into the driveway, and I calculated the distance and all. But the reason that I took note of it, because my dog was transformed from serving as gravity's backup plan, just sitting there holding the floor down, laying there like a piece of furniture, to about half a block away, she heard the sound of my daughter's car. All of the cars that go up and down the street all day long, and this wasn't even the daughter's car that the dog belongs to, but she heard the sound of a car. All of a sudden, she came snapping to attention. Her ears are perked. She went and aroused herself from her slothfulness there on the floor, and was eagerly awaiting my daughter at the front door, all because she heard a familiar sound, and to her it was glorious enough that it sparked her to attention. That's what I want to talk to you about right now, is that God is going to make sure that his glorious voice is heard. You and I have every reason to celebrate. We need to respond as if we have just heard our wife's voice, or if the roles are reversed, their our husband's voice, our kid's voice, someone we haven't seen in a long time. We need to respond as if we have just heard and received a decree from heaven that said, don't panic, kids. Begin the celebration. Go ahead and start the party. I'm almost there, and I'm bringing ultimate victory with me. God is going to cause his glories for what he did for Israel. He will do for me. He will do for you. He's going to do it for Merit Assembly of God. He's going to do it for Brevard County. He's going to do it in America. He's going to do it across the nations of the globe. God will be heard. Hallelujah. God will be heard. And it says, and showed the descent of his arm with the indignation of his anger and the flame of a devouring fire with the scattering tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down. For through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down. If you were to look in Revelation, you would find that when Jesus emerges onto the scene, that it is the sound of his voice. It is the sword that goes from his mouth. In Revelation 19, verse number 15, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule with a rod of iron. There is such power in the word of God. The power that was demonstrated when God spoke in Genesis chapter 1 and everything that we see and things we have yet to see came into existence all because God said, let there be, and there was. God spoke and things took place. I want you to know that ability has not been lost on God. It's not been lost through our disobedience or rebellion. It is just in a holding pattern waiting for us to walk in covenant relationship with God. Say, God, you are God and I'm not. God, you are God, my problem isn't. God, you are on the throne, my sickness isn't. My finances aren't. God, you reign supreme. And when that takes place, all of a sudden it says that the greatest enemy that they faced, listen, this was akin to the Egyptian army being defeated. This was Assyria at this point in time was the most powerful nation on the planet. They had just wiped out the 10 northern tribes. They were now knocking on Jerusalem's door and threatening Hezekiah and the people. And God says, listen, when I speak, your greatest enemy is going down. With that revelation, with that insight, why would we ever deprive ourselves of hearing the word of God, of spending time in prayer, sharpening the sword, sharpening our awareness of the word of God so that we are better equipped to deal with temptations? Why would we do that? It makes no sense. Listen, if you want to learn more about the walk of the believers, I encourage you to come to church this Sunday, and we're gonna share about the walk of the believers. So want to encourage you to do that. So that's how chapter 30 ends in Isaiah chapter 30. We're not going to touch much on chapter 31. We're going to spend some time in chapter 32. But chapter 31 begins like this: woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel. Now seek the Lord, yet he also is wise and will bring disaster and will not call back his words. That's really what I wanted to talk about for the most part here for the remainder of the program, is that part. God is not in the business of having to recall his words because they're defective. This year there was a pretty famous young actor, and he was killed in a freakish automobile accident. And by the way, I encourage you, if you don't have something to thank God for, ask God to just kind of replay some of those very frightening moments of your life where if God had not intervened, you and I, or you could have died. I could probably count, you know, dozens of times when I, if God had not been merciful, the devil would have taken me out. It's not that I live the most at risk life on the planet. It's just sometimes crazy things happen. And so accidents that didn't happen. This guy was killed in this freak automobile accident. And the thing was, there had been a recall that had been issued on the on that particular vehicle to try and remedy the situation that eventually killed that young actor. It is not uncommon for us to make mistakes. It's not uncommon at all for people to stick their foot in their mouth and swallow it up to their knee. Just to give you a picture there. It's not uncommon for us to say words. The Bible says where there's a multitude of words, sin's not very far away. And so I continue to remind you that if you hear something that comes out of my mouth, please understand it's not my intent to deceive or mislead or anything like that. Sometimes my words don't come out the way that I want them to. And you can ask people at our church who've been there a long time. There's been some things that came out of my mouth and I meant one thing and they were heard a different way. And people laughed extensively. And my wife can still to this day, if we start talking about some of those episodes, can still go into a fit of laughter that will keep her in stitches for 10, 15 minutes. It'll release all the endorphins she's got stored up in her body because my mouth sometimes doesn't say, sometimes spouses can say things that they really don't intend to hurt their spouse, but in actuality it does. And you can't take back your words. There's no way to recall them. But God says here, he's not in the business of recalling his words because the words that he said are the words that he meant. They're the words that are going to endure for all time. And so I think if you want to hold on to something stable, you don't want to hold on to your youth. It's fleeting. Don't hold on to your beauty because I think about all these people with all these tattoos. You know, I remember seeing a picture on a magazine cover one time of this very frail, very elderly lady from a society that had a lot of tattoos on it. And it's like, oh, what is that? And you couldn't even tell what it was anymore because it had deteriorated so much. And these people, you know, who go around and you know, look at this and it's not going to look like that, folks. I'm hate to tell you that new car you drive, that new house you're in, the new clothes that you wear, all of those things are going to deteriorate. There's only one thing that is going to endure forever. And that is the word of God. And so God says, I'm not going to recall it. When I said I was going to defeat your enemies, I meant I was going to defeat your enemies. When God said that there is only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. He meant it. When he said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, he meant it. You're not perfect. When he said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that's what he meant. There is no name given under heaven by which we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. All must come to repentance. That's what he said. That's what he meant. God will not recall his word. He's not going to recall his promises. He's not going to recall his instructions. And he's not going to recall the consequences that he's laid out for a life that is contrary to that. I got to thinking about this recently, and that was this. I was thinking about Balaam, how he said, and that which God has blessed, I cannot curse. He said, I can't curse what God has blessed. And in my prayer time, I just had this question. Why are so many people trying to bless what God has cursed? I mean, it's the opposite of that. Balaam said, he's blessing Israel. There's nothing I can do to stop it. But God also has, listen, you can look in Deuteronomy chapters 27 and 28. You can see for the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience. You can read all about the woes in the scripture and all of that. And yet we spend so much time in our modern society trying to bless things that God says, I don't approve of these things. I don't want them in your life. They hurt you. They don't harm you. And I can't bless them. And we spend so many times trying to undo God's blessing when we really ought to be focusing on walking in his blessing the way that he has spelled it out. Verse number 4 of Isaiah 31, for thus the Lord has spoken to me. Get that. It's a word from the Lord again. As a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion and for its hill. Like birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve it. I've got a great big asterisk by that in my Bible because I love what it says here. It's, you see, a wild lion, when it has prey, it is not intimidated, though it be completely surrounded by, you see, it has sought out that prey. It is going to make sure that he protects that meal because that is its existence. And it's and God says here that when I come down to deal with the enemies of my people, I am not going to be concerned though they surround me, though all the nations of the earth gather around me. I'm not going to be intimidated because I'm driven by a greater force than fear. I am driven by my holiness. I am driven by my power, and I'm driven by the love of my people, and I am going to come. I'm going to defend them. I'm going to defend their city. I am going to deliver it from every attack, and when I pass over it, they're going to be preserved. Now, you have to, every time I see the phrase passing over in the scripture, I automatically go back to Egypt on that 10th plague where they celebrated as Passover when the angel of death passed over and the children of God were left intact. But the Egyptians all suffered loss in every household from the least all the way up into Pharaoh's. Listen, when God's presence comes, the enemies of God and of his people cannot stand. God is for you today. He's got a word for you. He is coming suddenly to bring the victory. And I encourage you, walk in obedience because he loves you with an unending love. God bless you. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away and purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing.
Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on? With my one thing, you're my one.